Welcome, 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 welcome to The Upside. My name is Edmund Marquez. I'm your host today. We used to be called Tucson's Future. The future's bright still, but we've called ourselves The Upside. We're taking a more regional approach. Super excited today. We're sponsored by the Heath team. Tom Heath, your friend and my friend at Nova Home Loans, and the Tucson Sugar Skulls, your Tucson's professional indoor football team. Very excited to be here. I've got a buddy of mine here today, so it's going to be super interesting. This will be absolutely candid. We may say some things that may upset some people, but that's okay, because if you're not breaking eggs, you're not making an omelet. So I would like to welcome Mr. Michael Guymon. He is, what's your title over there now?
Chief Advocacy Officer.
They made up a title for him.
Thank
at
you.
The Chamber of Southern Arizona.
Chief, that's right. What? Advocacy Officer.
Chief Advocacy Officer. Okay, yeah. So we're going to go back in time. Michael and I are the same age. He went to CDO.
That's right. I went
to Sabino. We're both class of 91. You're 52 as well.
I'm 52 as well.
All right. We're both 52 years old. And where we really bonded, beyond the fact that my sister and his wife are like besties, who literally just went to Europe together.
They did.
Did not invite us, which it'd be awkward if I went with my sister. But they just went to Europe together. Michael and I really bonded as I joined the Metro Chamber Board of Directors. He was then working at the Metro Chamber under Amber Smith. Tell us just a bit about that before we go into... a broader topic. How was it? How long were you at the chamber at that point? How was it with Amber? What did you guys accomplish at that point?
Yeah, so I was at the chamber at that point 3 years, and Amber left in September, and I was the interim at that point and made permanent CEO in January of, I believe it was 2022.
Yes.
So you came onto the board in late 21. And you said, man, I'm not going to join this thing unless, you know, we're going to have some impact.
Yeah.
And there was a big transition that was happening. And you and I both basically came on at the same time in our new roles.
Yeah. So if you think about your chamber represents businesses. It's also good for networking, et cetera. I got on the chamber board. Thank you, Tim Medcoff, for pushing me onto the Metro Chamber board. But I'll be honest with you. I complained when I got there. And Michael and I will continue to reference the tip of the spear. But as I got to the Metro Chamber, you were interim. There were some things that shifted around in which I was asked if I wanted to chair the board because I had complained so much. Right. And as I got the opportunity, I could have waited another year or taken it then. And I said, I want to do this now. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we had just got done with a committee hiring you as a permanent CEO.
That's right.
And it was on like Donkey Kong from there. But before we get into the on like Donkey Kong, just tell us about your background as we know you. Because when I met you, you were at Trio. Was it called Trio or was it Sun Corridor?
It was Sun Corridor at that point in time. So yeah, Trio, Sun Corridor. But even before that, I started my career at the Chamber.
That's right.
Yeah. So right out of college, I was talking about making up titles, the Assistant Vice President of Government Affairs.
That's a great one.
For the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce in 97. So I spent a year there, really was very green, but at the same time learned a lot during that year. We endorsed a candidate. That's back when the chamber used to endorse candidates. And we endorsed a candidate named Fred Ronstadt, who was running for Tucson City Council for the first time.
Yeah.
And he won. At that time, the Chamber of Commerce endorsement was kind of considered the kiss of death.
But it still
he won with the kind of, but he won with the endorsement of the chamber. And I met with him for breakfast and I said, hey, here's what the chamber is about. And at the end of breakfast, I said, here's my resume. I'm interested in working for you.
Wow.
And he hired me as his aide. I ultimately became his chief of staff. So I was with him for all 8 years. He was in office. Then after he lost election in 2005, I did some consulting and I was the consultant for the Bridges Project. So the 400 acre land around 36 in Keno that now has a Dave and Buster's and a Costco, and the U of A has the refinery there, and there's going to be some homes built there. But at the time, it was dirt.
Right.
It's 400 acres of dirt. And it was my job and another consultant's job to turn one vote on the city council into six votes because we needed a supermajority to move that planned area development forward.
You needed supermajority, and Fred Ronstadt was a Republican or Democrat.
But he was off the council by then.
Oh,
so
he's
he
off
lost
the
election.
Okay.
So the only vote that we had at that time was Mayor Walkup.
The only Republican?
He was, yeah, I think at the time he was, yes.
Wow, and you needed supermajority.
We needed a supermajority.
But he didn't have a vote back then. He only had a tie-breaking
vote. He did. He still had a vote on it. But at the end of 14 months, we got six votes.
Wow.
So we turned one vote into six and got that planned area development approved. And now it's a great development for the South Side.
So as you started with the chamber, went to Fred Ronstadt, went to the bridges, were you more attracted to the politics or the economic development?
Definitely the politics.
You were more attracted to the politics.
Yeah,
interesting.
Because especially during that process, what was fascinating about that process, Edmund, was it was getting people to change their minds and getting people to understand why this was important to that area. And so I like doing that. And I know you like this too. It's like sitting down with folks, meeting them where they are, and really figuring out how are we going to make something possible? And you talk about Tucson's future, right? I mean, this was a big turning point for that area. The Vistas, which is the neighborhood just east of the bridges, that was considered at the time one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the community. So working with the Vistas, working with Palooba Gardens, working with SNAP, which is the Southside Neighborhood Association group partnership, and working with all those neighborhoods to sit down with them and say, look, this doesn't just bring you jobs. This brings you opportunity. This brings you more shopping.
So how's the neighborhood now compared to then?
The neighborhood is definitely better.
So would you say gentrification was good for that neighborhood?
Well, I don't know if it was. I don't know if you would call it gentrification.
Well, you built a massive commercial center outside their neighborhood.
But it didn't change the character of the neighborhoods.
Right.
I would argue it didn't change the character of the neighborhoods. I would argue it gave them more opportunities, not only for shopping and entertainment, but for jobs that those individuals can have right across the street.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So let's fast forward to the chamber. So Michael served as the Metro Chamber's CEO.
Correct.
I came in his chair at the same time. I would say that you and I did not ask forgiveness.
Correct.
We didn't ask permission. We didn't even ask forgiveness at the very end. We had an opportunity to really have an impact with the Metro Chamber. I think so many times, and I complain about this in the city, there's so many times we as business people in our community will sit down in a room and we'll have some really brilliant conversations. I'm talking top end brilliant. And then we will leave the room and everyone will go back to work and nothing happens. We're great at that in this community.
Yes.
So when we got together at the Metro Chamber, we literally reshaped the bylaws.
Yep.
Reshaped the board, reshaped the sponsorship levels and the monetization of the chamber.
Yep.
I would love to know in your perspective, what do you think we and the board accomplished at that time?
So I thought one of the biggest changes you made initially was because you had come out of the school of Tony Penn.
Yep. United Way.
Coming from the United Way board, very professional, very laser focused on what you need to do to not only grow the revenue, but to create impact. Our favorite word is impact.
Yeah.
Right. So what do we do to create impact? And one of the biggest changes you made initially was the chair of the board was now 2-year term.
Yeah.
So I can look 2 years ahead working with you to say, okay, here's sort of the end, working from the end backing in to say, I know when Edmund's going to transition out. So what can we do in the next 2 years together to really make an impact and turn this organization around?
Yeah.
Because it was at that time kind of dangling by a string.
It was in a tough position.
It was in a tough position.
Almost broke and without a ton of impact.
That's correct.
I keep looking at this camera. I'll give you a sidebar. So my opinion. I think I'm the only person maybe in Tucson history, I think, that has chaired the Hispanic Chamber and also chaired the Metro Chamber. And I will tell you from my perspective, and we did build the Hispanic Chamber into one of the most influential in the country. We were named large chamber of year for the United States. So we'd done some good things. When I got to the Metro Chamber, I realized that a lot of the corporations really are mandated by their CEO or their boardroom. They have to invest in the chamber, the local chamber. Hispanic Chamber, they don't have to, right? It's Hispanic, depends on whether they're Hispanic or that's part of the culture of their company.
Mm-hmm.
The Metro Chamber, they have to. So I'll tell you blatantly, we increased the prices.
We did.
We blatantly brought our value in by increasing the prices. But what companies want, they have to have a return on investment when it comes to a chamber. They have to have impact within the city when it comes to the local politics. And then they want a network. Network sometimes becomes a dirty word in the chamber business because people are like, oh, they just want a network. Businesses want a network. I think most of the people that show up to chamber events are B2B. It's business to business. It's people trying to sell each other's products. And we survive that way. We have to have that. But when it came to the Metro Chamber, we increased the prices for the corporations who are our members. And we took them to what did we call our top level?
Keystone.
We took them to a Keystone. It's a good made up word. We took them to the Keystone level because you need the corporate money so you can serve the small business, period, right? We did not increase pricing for a small business, but we used the corporate dollars to create a healthy chamber so that we could support our small business. And we did that in so many ways. You can give some examples.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things we did too was we wanted to make sure that as we were increasing them to Keystone, that we were giving them benefit.
Yeah.
Right. There was a return on their investment where they were part of the decision making. We were taking them out to dinners. We were putting them in rooms. We were becoming the room of rooms.
They're meeting with Mayor Romero. They're meeting with Jan Lesher, the best of the best.
But at the same time, Edmund, you know, some of the things that I like to point to is we also weren't afraid to say what needed to be said from the business community standpoint. And so when the governor was looking to change the makeup of the Rio Nuevo board, we were the ones that were out there saying, why fix what isn't broken, right?
Exactly.
And so we weren't afraid to do that. We weren't afraid to step out when the city of Tucson was looking to increase the sales tax to take us to the highest sales tax rate of a community of our size in the entire state and say, we don't like that. We don't like the plan. We don't like the increase that this is going to, the level this is going to. So we were willing to make more bolder moves.
Yeah.
And some of these corporations, some of these businesses, they appreciate that. They want chambers and they want these organizations to speak up.
Yeah, I think a lot of times in Tucson also, sidebar, you have business organizations, our local business organizations that will also get in a room, have a conversation, agree that they like something or dislike something. But then maybe one of those organizations doesn't step forward to lead that effort. So typically Michael would call me and I would say two words, we lead.
We lead,
that's right. So we always talked about being the tip of the spear and we lead. So all of this conversation, you're maybe wondering, why the heck are we talking about the past? Because it leads to today.
Yeah.
So the Tucson Metro Chamber became such a healthy, strong organization that another healthy, strong organization.
Sun Corridor. That's right.
Exactly. Sun Corridor, led by Joe Snell. We merged.
We did.
And I'll tell you, I was not a huge fan of it at the beginning. I complained a lot just to make sure we maintained the tip of the spear. But I will tell you, organizations north of us in the Phoenix area were jealous that we actually figured it out and we could get into a room and actually come together to create a stronger organization. So this leads to I have two questions, and one's easy and then one will be very hard for him. One, and I apologize in advance. One is, how's it going? Tell us kind of what you guys are up to now that the Metro Chamber and Sun Corridor have become the Chamber of Southern Arizona. What are you up to?
So in my opinion, just to answer that initial question, I think it's going extremely well.
Good.
The blending of economic development and business advocacy should have happened years ago. It used to be that way. Now it's back.
Well, explain that though, because Sun Corridor had a role and the chamber had a role.
That's right. So Sun Corridor, their role was mainly to work with companies looking to expand or relocate into this region. So Caterpillar, Home Goods, Raytheon expansion. I mean, these are all examples of things that they've done Amazon. In the past. Amazon, exactly. The chamber is there to help make sure that those companies don't leave.
Yeah.
So Sun Corridor helps bring them through the front door and the chamber helps make sure that they don't leave out the back door.
So let's talk about that from the business sense. Sun Corridor is your sales team.
Yes.
And your chamber creates the value proposition.
That's a good way to put it.
So Joe so many times would go, give me a better product. And the better product was, do we have a community that says yes to business, that invites business to come here? Right now, I'm going to say no. Do we have a community that has good roads? We have 418 and 419, which probably by the time this airs will have been voted on. Hopefully we vote yes.
Probably should have taken off my butt.
It's okay. We're kind of screwed if we don't vote yes because our municipalities don't have the money to pave our roads, et cetera. I see so much misinformation on social media. I hope they pass. But we need to have a better product. So now by merging the two, the chamber now controls both. going out to go sell.
That's correct.
Companies on Tucson through site selectors. And at the same time, you have to advocate to make sure that we have a better community to invite, invite business.
Yeah. And what I like about that, Edmund, is that we're able to have those conversations all under one roof. And the big initiative that we're working on right now is our regional economic growth initiative. So we announced this back in January, and it is, talk about tip of the spear, it is addressing a significant problem that we have acknowledged and we have seen in this community. When the December numbers came out, we saw that Tucson, for the first time in over 20 years, had negative job growth.
Yeah.
And that is completely unacceptable.
And the rest of the state?
The rest of the state is still in positive territory.
Exactly. It's a loaded question.
So we need to address that. And so we are being the tip of the spear. We are putting together focus groups over the next few months. We are going to deliver recommendations, specific recommendations, short-term and long-term, at our June event. So right now, we've worked out a deal with Eller College, where twice a year, the lead economist comes out, says, here are the numbers, here's the data. Well, we are now co-branding that event with University of Arizona and Eller College, so that we will still deliver those facts and figures, but this also gives us a platform to talk about the economy from our perspective, from an advocacy perspective.
So, all right. So segue to my tougher question.
The tougher question.
So I'll break that down for you. So basically, Eller comes out and tells us how bad we're doing economically. So now the Chamber of Southern Arizona is going to co-sponsor the event to tell us how bad we're doing economically. It's nice, but what actually is happening at the Chamber of Southern Arizona that keeps us being the tip of the spear? Because right now, if you have a site selector coming to town, site selector's like,
right,
I don't know if your mayor and council want me there.
Mm-hmm.
Your roads suck.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things they could hit us on. What are we actually doing besides helping Eller report that's going to help us move this along?
So that's going to be in those very specific recommendations. We have an idea of the things that we need to do. And quite frankly, it comes down to an attitude change, and
by
part of
whom?
That attitude by the jurisdictions. And you're seeing some of that happening. I mean, we went through this major fight over data centers.
Yeah.
Where there was one jurisdiction that said no, there were two other jurisdictions that said yes.
Yeah.
So is that going to be our future? Is that going to be us working with particular jurisdictions that want to say yes? Yes, I think that is definitely in our future, but we need everyone to say yes.
Debate this with me. I feel we embarrassed ourselves when it came to the data center because of the yelling, the screaming.
The vitriol,
the vitriol, allowing people from outside of our community to come scream at our meetings. I mean, a couple of things could have happened, right? County and city were under an NDA. They could have stayed behind the NDA longer, actually figured out a value proposition to actually roll this out appropriately to our voters, our neighborhoods, mm-hmm. right? We could have had a sergeant of arms in those meetings that possibly told people, gosh, if you're going to yell and scream and say horrible things, we're going to kick you out of the room. Like, there's things could have happened. I mean, what's your opinion of all that?
Yeah, look, it was a terribly ugly situation and one that could have been avoided. But it happened. And so we just need to figure out how we make sure that doesn't happen again.
Well, how do you think we avoid that next time?
I think we just have to have some really tough conversations in this community.
Because aren't these
tougher than the ones that we have? It has to get back to one of the points that you made, where we're not just going into a room, talking about a bunch of stuff, leaving and not doing anything. We got to go into that room now, have those difficult conversations, and actually have some things that actually come out of this, some tangible results that come out of that. But, you know, there are things that we could definitely talk about and some challenges that I know this community faces from that perspective, but we just need to turn those conversations into action.
On this podcast, we had Jeremy Sharp. Jeremy's in site selector /
that one I did see.
Yeah. CEO meetings in Phoenix and in Southern California. And people are coming up to him asking him, what the hell is going on in Tucson because of how we reacted to the data center? And I get it. It is happening in other communities as well, but it's my understanding these data centers are still happening.
They are, and they will still continue to happen. The four major data center users, Google, Apple, Meta, and Disney, they're projected to spend, I think I saw the number was about $4 billion just this year.
Yeah. Wasn't it Google that just bought a copper mine in the state of Arizona?
That I don't know.
It's happening. They're literally going to create nuclear power plants themselves.
Well, yeah, the energy is going to need to come from somewhere. Yeah. And so if they can do it themselves, then absolutely.
Yeah. So on a positive note, where are we heading that we can look forward to? So, I mean, I know I kind of dug into some areas. Like, what can we look forward to? Where do you think the upswing is? What's the upside?
Look, the upside, Edmund, is that this community still has so much potential to grow, so much potential to understand the importance of growing jobs, so much potential to understand even the value of having good streets and good roads. But it's on us. And I think that between the University of Arizona, which is still, I'll give you the biggest upside. The change in the university leadership has been the brightest spot that I've seen from an economic development perspective in over 20 years. Because you have a university president who is now looking at making sure that they are focused on four very specific areas that deliver economic returns. And that's in fusion energy, that's in mining, which I know is a difficult conversation, but it's a conversation we need to have because guess what? Mines can't find ore anywhere where there's not ore.
Yeah, we've demonized the word mining and we need it.
That's
correct. If you like your cell phone, if you like any of the technology you're using, you need mining.
That's right. AI and healthcare and space and defense. So, I mean, these are four very specific areas. They align with our targeted industries. They align with Pima County's economic development. So we now have we have three major organizations that are all heading in the same direction. And it's really been the university, because the university has always been our biggest economic engine.
Yeah.
Bar none.
Yeah.
The talent they produce, the research they produce, the things that they do is the greatest asset that we have in this region. And now we have a university focused on economic development. And to me, that's the biggest upside.
I'll agree with you.
Biggest upside that we've seen in a long time. I'll agree with you.
So if you're watching this, this is basically what Lunch with Michael and I is like. We'll just sit here and we'll debate what's going on. And we debate what's going on because we simply love this community.
Absolutely.
We are Tucson boys through and through. I think our greatest upside is the University of Arizona. I agree. Could we do more? Yes. You and I got to spend time with Michael Crow, of all people, at ASU.
That's right.
He called me a sophomoreish athletic fan. And I said, I totally get it. In the end, I told him, I really appreciate what he's doing because he's collaborating with business. And he has more. Yeah, I think he has six tech parks.
Seven. At least, yeah.
His tech parks are amazing. He's doing land deals. He's collaborating with businesses to the point where he's one of the most innovative universities. At the flip side, I told him I hate his sports teams. I mean, that's just the way it plays out with ASU, right?
That's right.
So I look forward to what U of A can do. I think we do have some opportunity there as long as they continue to unsilo and remove the imaginary wall around the U of A to allow business to do more business with the University of Arizona, which has been tough. And I think Pima County, Jan Lesher, she has about less than a year left with us. She just hired Chad Kazmar, which is fantastic.
It is.
The county gets it. The county's a mature, level-headed organization that will help us economically. Those are our two bright spots. We have to continue to say, yes, we're almost looking to be successful in spite of the challenges that we're working with. Because sometimes when it comes to the city of Tucson, we tend to fight amongst ourselves.
Right.
We're not realizing that we're competing against Glendale, Scottsdale, Tempe, Mesa, and they don't even consider us. They don't even look at us because we're busy infighting.
That's right.
And then despite everything that we're working on the business side, every like Travel and Leisure names us the number seven city in the country to come visit during the winter time. I mean, we're national media. We're known for our food and our climate and our hiking and our biking.
Yeah.
There's so many great things going on here. We just got to continue to work on the center of town.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, because we can't have a donut effect.
Right. And we're having
Detroit experienced that.
Yeah.
And they fell apart completely from an economic standpoint. They're starting to rebuild because they realized that was bad. That was the wrong thing to do. So they are rebuilding. They're the center of Detroit. Joe was actually just there for a conference and he said, man, I haven't seen investment like this happen in a long time. And so we need And that kind of gets to the action side of this as well. We need strategic investments at the right area, but we cannot allow the city of Tucson to fail.
Amen. And one nugget in the midst of that, I think, is south of the airport, because we are decades behind developing that land south of the airport, which should be industrial, which would bring a ton of companies to town.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, Michael Guymon, thank you very much for being here with us. It's been fun. You've got to see us debate. We literally, again, do this at lunch. I want to just thank you for watching The Upside, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.